Well, I do regret all of that, but we had nothing to do with any of it.
Then you have nothing to do with me either.
Unfortunately, your actions do. You see, if you continue your father's work, it could lead to open conflict that would bring us all to the attention of the world at large. We simply cannot have that. It would lead to many problems for all of us.
Listen, old man, Sean growled. I didn't start this, but I sure as hell am going to finish it. I no longer have any choice. It's win or die for me now, and I'm not all that fond of dying.
You really do not want the Council of Sapientia as your opponents, Arthur warned, and Sean noticed him make another hand motion as another spell bounced off of his firewall. Sean made note of the spell Object. He'd puzzle it out later.
Wrong. It's you who need to be worried, Sean replied hotly. Because your spells won't work on me, and if you cast another one...
Sean drew his pistol and pointed at the man.
You're going to be late.
Late? Arthur looked confused.
As in the late Arthur Troy. You've got 10 seconds to get in your car and leave.
So, you can practice magic? Arthur looked surprised.
Again, not like I had any choice. So I suggest you don't force me to kill you and your men. 8 seconds.
Arthur sighed and turned back towards the car. Jolene, please try to talk some sense into the boy, Arthur mentioned to the others. Let's go.
How'd you find us, Arthur? Jolene called. We're scryproof.
Oh, really now, Joe? Do you think I'm dumb? Arthur got into the back of the car, as the others also got inside. Sean watched as the car started up and slowly pulled out, Arthur lowering his window as they drove by.
I put an alert on his credit card, Arthur smiled. Old man, indeed.
Sean waited until they'd pulled out of the parking lot, then turned to Jolene.
He's...
my uncle, Jolene shrugged.
What?
Magical ability is inherited, hon. I thought you'd figured that out by now.
So everyone's related?
Jolene shrugged.
Not directly, but if you go back far enough, I'm sure we've all got a common ancestor or three. Now I think we should split before anyone else shows up.
Sean nodded, and they quickly went over to their car.
What was that second spell he cast?
Sleep spell. I think he was trying to show off a little.
Well, that didn't work out for him, did it?
Roxy, could you drive?
Sure. Why?
I want to work on some more spells. I have an idea I want to try out.
Arthur sighed as they drove away. His niece had always been the wild card in the family. When it was discovered that her magic was too weak to follow in the family's traditions, it had broken his sister's heart. When Jolene had gone missing, everyone thought she'd just taken her life to hide her family's shame. Then, 3 years later, she'd come back, a tantric witch. And not just any tantric witch, oh no. His niece had somehow made her way to India and studied with the head of the tantric covens. She was sweeter, sexier, and from all reports a total seductress and rather accomplished in the bedroom. 2 marriages had quickly been destroyed by her. The women in them, Arthur had later found out, had been exceptionally abusive to Jolene before her disappearance. After that, to all appearances, she'd settled down at the local college with a nice stable of boyfriends, some of whom Arthur suspected were respectable members of both his council as well as a few of the others. While the rest of the family was now cool to her, Arthur had grown to respect his niece. She'd made the best of her situation and had come back to rub her success in the face of all those who had doubted her or slighted her. He always invited her to all the family outings, and when she showed, he made sure to treat her like the rest of his nieces and nephews, and watched with quiet amusement as she baffled them all. And now, to his surprise, he just discovered that she'd taken up with Ben Valens's son. The whole Valens affair had been a rather messy one, and his niece had to have heard about it. She'd probably heard about her grandfather's role in it as well. And yet, she'd sided with this Sean.
James?
Yes, boss?
James asked from the front seat, next to Dean, who was driving.
I want to know everything about Sean Valen as you can find. Where he lived, how much money he has in the bank, where he worked, where his mother worked, his high school and college records, all of that.
Sure thing, boss.
You want me to follow them?
Charles, the guard sitting next to him, asked. Arthur nodded slowly. The last thing he wanted was for his niece to get hurt.
Pull over when we're out of sight, Dean.
Sure thing, boss.
Arthur turned to Charles.
Don't let them spot you, and don't do anything other than watch them. Find out what they're driving, where they're going. Don't try to get too close, and don't tell anyone who you're following or why. My niece sees something in this young man, and I want to know what it is before I try talking to him again.
Okay, boss.
Arthur sat in thought as the car pulled over and Charles got out. James had already called the backup car that had been waiting around the block to come and pick up Charles. He always kept an extra car nearby when conducting dangerous or clandestine meetings, just in case he needed someone followed, or needed to stop someone from following him. Sean hunkered down into his classroom almost immediately, and started on another feature to his firewall spell. Simply put, Sean created a honeypot trap that all blocked spells would go into and added a logging and an archiving function. All attacks would be logged, and the spell objects that were now blocked by his firewall would be automatically tarred. Next, he added another feature that would allow him to play back or actually cast those spells back immediately. The hard part was coming up with a naming convention. Eventually, he simply settled on the number of which attack it was on that day. He'd have to make sure that he managed it well, so it didn't become a complete mess. But if nothing else, it would teach him more about how each person constructed their spells. But the best part about the new archiving function was that it drained the energy out of the spell as it was archived, so he'd gain energy from it, which would definitely help if he was under attack, as shield spells were costly. That made Sean wonder if he could attach the same function to his shield spell, but the more he looked at it, the more impossible it seemed. The objects became physical before they contacted the target, and the ability to convert physical objects into energy just wasn't possible, it seemed. Energy attacks were different, because energy could be manipulated, though from what he'd read so far, it seemed that some forms of energy were harder to deal with than others. But in the cases of those attacks, you were trying to overwhelm your victim's ability to deal with the energy being supplied. That wasn't easy against an experienced or trained magic user, of course. So energy attacks, like lightning or heat, were typically only used against mundanes or other non-magic-wielding targets. When Sean finally checked out of his classroom, he found that they were parked in front of a motel in Carson City.
Ah, back with us.
Roxy smiled and kissed him.
Jolene got us a room, and we moved some of our stuff in there.
Well, I want to drive by the museum and get a look at it before tomorrow, Sean told her.
We already did. It's closed. We made a lap around the parking lot. There were some lights on and a few cars. I guess someone was working there. But that was about it.
I'd really like to go back there, Sean sighed.
Well, it's only about a half mile south of us, so we could just walk on down there, but I'd rather wait until it's a lot later out, with less people around.
Sean nodded. That sounds like a plan, then. Let's go inside. Midnight at the railroad.
Sean, wake up.
Roxy was shaking his foot.
What?
Sean opened his eyes and sat up quickly.
I think we have trouble.
Roxy sighed. Grabbing his pants, Sean started to get dressed.
What is it?
Look out the front window, carefully.
Grabbing his holster and putting it on, Sean walked over to the spot where Roxy had the shades propped open a little bit. The parking lot looked fine, but there were a bunch of cars across the street, and as Sean watched, someone came running across the street and started to check out their car.
Joe, you don't think your uncle sold us out, do you?
Sean asked, and grabbing his shirt, he put it on and, checking his watch,
He stepped into his shoes. It was a little past midnight. They'd been here about 2 hours. Him?
Jolene shook her head.
No. One of the men with him? Possibly. Well, they at least don't know what room we're in,
Roxy said, peeking out the window.
Uh-oh. One of them is running over to the front desk.
Grab your packs, Sean said, and went around to the back window, grabbing his as he did, and peeking out the shades.
No one back here yet. Joe, you wouldn't know any silence spells, would you?
Jolene laughed.
With the way Rox moans? Of course I do.
Roxy turned rather beet red as Sean grinned.
You're not all that quiet yourself, you know. Could you cast it over here? I need to bust out this window so we can leave.
Jolene nodded and made a few gestures.
Go for it,
Jolene said. Sean nodded, and picking up the chair, he quickly busted out the glass and framework of the window.
I'll go through first. Let's move. Yeah, the guy just came out of the office and is running back to the other guys,
Roxy said. Climbing out the window and being careful not to get cut, Sean helped Jolene out next, and then Roxy. After that, they took off down the street.
So, they know we're here. Now what?
Jolene asked. We go to the museum. It's after midnight. It's my birthday now. Maybe something will turn up.
Happy birthday, hon,
Roxy sighed.
Happy birthday,
Jolene agreed as they ran.
I was sort of hoping we could have a little party.
Sean chuckled.
Oh, I'm sure we will. I'm just not sure when.
Better pick up speed,
Roxy murmured, and Sean noticed she had shifted into her hybrid form and was running a lot faster now. Shifting as well, Sean grabbed Jolene and, picking her up in a bridal carry, he took off after Roxy.
How long until they follow us?
Sean grunted.
No idea,
Roxy said as he caught up with her.
But I doubt it will take them all that long to figure it out. There's only two places we might be interested in. The State Museum to the north and the Railroad Museum to the south.
Well, let's hope they check the one to the north first, Sean said, as they came around the back of the museum.
So, where do we start?
Jolene asked, looking around at the buildings as Sean set her back down.
Let's start in the back,
Sean said, looking at the large building where the maintenance was done.
Odds are the front one with the fancier displays in the gift shop has an alarm.
Well, let's be quick,
Roxy said in a low voice. Sean nodded, and shifting back to make it easier to fit through the doorway, he grabbed the doorknob on the first door he came to and carefully forced the lock using his strength. He winced as the lock mechanism shattered. It wasn't too loud, but it still wasn't quiet.
I just wish I knew what we were looking for,
Sean grumbled, and slowly led them inside the building. It was dark inside, but that didn't present much of a challenge for Sean anymore, or Roxy, and Jolene just cast some sort of spell to see in the darkness as they started searching.
You know, if it's going to be any place, it's going to be in the front building,
Roxy sighed as they slowly made their way back towards the workshops.
Everything here just moves around too much.
Still, my dad was a fan of the workshops, so we need to check them out,
Sean whispered.
At least the place is empty, Jolene said, looking around.
Sean looked around and nodded, and suddenly remembered being here with his father so many years ago. Following the route of his memory, sure enough, they came to the door to the workshop, along with the sign about authorized personnel only. Opening the door, he stepped through. Surprisingly, a lot of it looked just like his memory of the place. Except, of course, for the small woman in coveralls standing in the middle of the room with a fairly large hammer in her right hand.
Hello?
Sean said.
Who are you, and just what are you doing in my shop?
Your shop?
Sean gave a laugh, looking around.
I seem to recall an old guy running this place. Samus something? Heavyset man? Black and gray beard?
Yeah, that's my uncle. Now I suggest you turn around and leave while you still can.
Sean looked her over. She was young, probably his age, and had to be all of 5 feet, if that. She really wasn't that big, or wasn't that strong, obviously. Sean raised a hand.
Chill. I'm looking for something my dad left for me. He was a friend of your uncle's.
Look, I ain't got no time for tweakers looking for stuff to steal to buy drugs. I suggest you leave now before I take this hammer and start breaking your bones.
Sean rolled his eyes.
Yeah, you and what army?
Listen, I'm not here to steal anything. Just let me see if I can find this thing. Then I'll get the hell out of here.
What? You don't think I can take you down?
She said, scowling at Sean, and started to smack the hammer into her left hand.
Sean?
Roxy started. Are you suicidal? Sean said, staring at the woman. I'm bigger, taller, and obviously just a little bit desperate being in here this late at night.
You're just a single, small woman and you don't even have a gun.
No, you can't take me down.
God, why do I have to run into the crazy ones all the time?
Sean stepped into the room, walking over towards where a part of what he guessed was a steam engine was sitting on a work table, with tools racked on the wall behind it. And the crazy gal actually threw the hammer at him. It hit him in the chest, and he was sure he felt a rib crack as he grunted.
Sean,
Roxy said again.
She's a dwarf.
Huh?
Sean blinked as the hammer rather amazingly returned to the young woman's hand.
Dwarves are real?
And then he ducked as she threw it at his head this time, just missing him, but it clipped him on the back of the head as it came back.
So, she smiled at him. Still think I need an army?
Oh, fuck this, Sean growled and shifted. I've had about enough of this shit for today,
and stepped towards her. Sean noticed her eyes got a little wider, and she took a step back, but it didn't stop her from throwing her hammer at him a third time. Jumping her, he wrestled her down to the ground and then rolled over rather quickly as he figured that hammer was coming back to hit him again. Sure enough, it was, but she caught it as he dodged it and swung it at him as they struggled. He was rather amazed at how strong she was. Definitely not as strong as a young woman should be, but also not as strong as he was. She caught him in the side of the face with the hammer and it spun his head to the side, lighting up with a fire that wasn't natural. Grabbing her hand, he pinned it to the ground hard and, putting his other hand around her throat, he pinned her to the floor.
I think the damn thing is silver, Sean growled.
He could feel the blood flowing down the side of his face. The wound wasn't healing.
Let me see,
Roxy said, and running over, she checked the side of his muzzle.
Quit struggling, Sean growled down at the woman under him. You like getting hurt or something?
Yeah, that hammer's got silver in it. Quite a lot. Joe, you got any healing spells?
Jolene came over, skirting the struggling woman under Sean, and put her hand on his head. A warm, pleasant feeling surged through him. At the same time, he felt the woman digging her fingers of her free hand into the pressure points of his elbow. Looking down at her, he growled,
"Stop that!"
She's not going to stop fighting you, Sean,
Roxy sighed.
They're like that.
How long until my face heals? Sean asked Jolene.
Oh, 12 hours or so, I'd guess.
What?
Silver really messes up lichens, Sean.
Roxy sighed.
At least it'll heal. Now what are we going to do about her?
Grumbling, Sean looked down at the dwarven woman beneath him. This close, he could see that she was really quite cute. No, strike that. Beautiful was more like it, even with the murder in her eyes as she glared up at him. The body inside that coverall that he was now sitting on top of also appeared to be a lot nicer than he'd guessed.
My name is Sean, he sighed, looking down at her. Sean Valens. You are?
Dalen Goldsmith, and I'm going to kill your furry ass.
Sean took a deep breath and shook his head.
Look, my father was murdered 12 years ago, and he left me something that I need to find today, on my 21st birthday. This was one of our favorite places to come when I was a kid. He was friends with the people who worked here, so I'm hoping this is where he hid it. Now, there are a buttload of people trying to kill me because of who my father was. So if you want a piece of me, you'll just have to wait in line, okay? But right now, I need to get into the main building, and as I see it, you probably have the keys and the alarm code.
And just why would I help you?
Because I don't want to damage anything.
Dalen,
Roxy said, coming over to kneel by Dalen's head.
If we go in there and set off the alarm, about a dozen people who want him dead and who are looking for us right now will come here.
So?
They're magic users with nasty weapons. What do you think will happen to this place?
Dalen gave Roxy an evil look.
We have gold,
Roxy said with a smile.
Like that'll make me change my mind,
Daylan said.
How about this, Sean growled. After we go through the main building, if we find what we want, you can take us and it to your uncle's house, and he can decide if I get to keep it or not.
And the gold?
I've got 6 ounces left that I haven't enchanted. You can have them all.
Wait, you can enchant gold?
Daylan's eyes did get wide.
Lycans can't enchant things.
Yeah, well, this one can,
Roxy chuckled.
So deal or no deal?
And if I say no?
I'll tie you up and trash your tool bench, Sean growled.
Okay, you got my word. I won't attack you, and I'll let you into the main building. But we go to my uncle's afterwards, regardless, okay?
Deal. Sean sighed and sat back on his heels, letting go of Daylan and touching the side of his muzzle gingerly with his left hand.
Well, at least the bleeding stopped.
He sighed and shifted back to human form, then gasped in pain.
Oh, yeah. Shifting when you're wounded hurts. I should have warned you.
Roxy apologized, looking a little embarrassed.
Never mind. Let's just go.
Man, I got you good, didn't I?
Daylan laughed, looking at Sean.
I thought dwarves were supposed to be short, wide, and have beards,
Sean grumbled back at her.
That's the men,
Roxy said.
Though I don't remember ever meeting a dwarven girl as tall as you are, Daylan.
If you start telling tall jokes, I'll introduce you to Maxwell here, like I did your boyfriend.
Tall jokes?
Sean blinked.
You're not tall.
Daylan glared at Sean, who looked confused. Roxy facepalmed.
You named your hammer Maxwell?
Yeah. Well, he's silver,
Daylan said, looking back at Roxy.
What else would you name him?
Sean looked at Daylan and decided right now keeping his mouth shut was a good idea.
Let's go, he said, and pointed to the exit.
So, why are you here tonight anyway?
Sean asked as they crunched across the gravel to the back door of the museum.
Thursday and Friday are my off days from work, so I came down here to help with an old brass steam coupling valve set.
Daylan sighed.
They don't make them like that anymore. Kind of surprising at times that humans were ever able to make them in the first place. Anyways, I lost track of the time and just decided to sack out in the shop instead of going home.
Work? What do you do?
Slot machine maintenance, primarily the old mechanical ones. Though, I'll work on the new ones, too.
Daylan shook her head, and Sean suddenly noticed the thick braid of hair that went down her back and past her butt.
The new ones aren't as much fun to fix, though. Too easy.
Taking out a key ring, Daylan unlocked the back door. Then, stepping inside, she keyed a panel by the door with a code.
Okay, we got 30 minutes, then the alarm will come back on. That's the bathroom break code. If I enter it a second time, people will come.
Sean nodded.
I don't think it'll take that long. Whatever my father left, I suspect it'll react when I walk by. Fine, let's just be quick. Follow me.
Daylan grumbled, and Sean did just that. Though he found it a little hard to keep his eyes off her butt as she walked. She really had a nice one, he was starting to realize. Sean also quickly realized that she wasn't wearing anything at all under those coveralls.
Are you watching my butt?
Daylan sighed, glancing back over her shoulder at him.
What guy could resist?
Sean teased with a grin, and then started looking at the exhibits around him.
Wow, this place is smaller than I remembered it.
You were 8 the last time you were here,
Jolene laughed.
Of course it is.
Better hurry up,
Roxy said over from the front door as they walked around the place, which she was looking through.
Trouble?
Yeah, one of the cars we saw back at the motel is cruising the lot.
Well,
Daylan said a minute later,
we've covered all of it, and nothing's happened.
You sure?
Sean said, looking around.
This has to be the place.
You sure it isn't over at the V&T?
The V&T?
Sean asked.
Virginia and Truckee Railroad. They run steam engines and put on a show.
Sean shook his head slowly.
I don't really recall that. Maybe we should look again?
Daylan shook her hammer at him.
We looked. Nothing happened. Now, unless you want Max upside your head again, we're done here.
Sean,
Jolene said,
nothing happened, or I would have felt it. We need to go before the others show up, and we end up having to fight our way out.
Too late for that,
Roxy said, coming around to them.
The other car just got here, and they're all getting out and spreading out.
Well, shit,
Daylin swore. Sean fished out the pouch in his pocket with the gold pieces in it and tossed it to Daylin.
Catch. What's this?
The gold I promised. No reason for you to get involved in this. Not your fight. Sean looked at Jolene and Roxy. Let's head west up into the hills. Draw them away from here. Running for the back door, Sean hit it, pistol in hand with Jolene behind him and Roxy bringing up the rear.
There they are!
Sean heard someone yell, and grabbing Jolene, he ducked around behind a train as Roxy sprinted by. Sean waited, and sure enough, two men went running by, hot on Roxy's heels. He grabbed the first one by the hair, and dragging him backwards as his feet flew out from under him, Sean brought the base of the gun down hard on the man's head, knocking him out. Jolene, meanwhile, cast some sort of spell, and the other guy just suddenly locked up stiff as a board as his clothing suddenly shrank tight enough to leave him whimpering in pain on the ground.
Kinky, Sean whispered, and peeking around the corner, he saw six more men running their way.
Run, I'll catch up,
Sean said, and gave Jolene a push. Then calling up his monitor spell and his offense framework, he fired off a fireball and then winced as it went off with a rather loud boom, and the six men dove for cover. That rattled the windows and no doubt set off any alarms in the area. Turning, Sean took off in the direction of Jolene and passed Roxy, who was taking cover behind a rise that had a few trees on it. Stopping and turning back to join her, Sean hunkered down.
Well, we took two of them out. How many do you think are left?
At least 10, I'm sure, Roxy said. Keep your eyes open for any flanking actions.
Sean nodded and looked down his pistol sights as a group of men came running around the corner. Both he and Roxy opened up at the same time, dropping the front two as the rest all dove for cover and returned fire.
Four down,
Sean said, and cast a shield spell on Roxy and then himself.
That leaves six,
Roxy agreed, as they heard the sound of squealing tires in the distance.
Great, now they're gonna throw cars at us,
Sean grumbled.
I'm surprised they're not throwing spells at us.
Sean checked his monitor spell and saw that he'd had over a dozen spells thrown at him.
Actually, they have been,
Sean said, and with a series of gestures, he threw the last six spells thrown at him back at the group shooting at them.
That do any good?
Sean asked, ducking back down into cover.
No idea. And that car is getting closer.
Go protect Joe. I'll catch up with both of you in a minute,
Sean said, and popped a couple more shots off at the guys on the ground.
Don't take too long,
Roxy said, and streaked out of there. Sean nodded and watched as a man came running around the corner and started to charge straight at him. Taking aim, Sean double-tapped him in the body, but he kept coming, so Sean hit him in the thigh, where he was sure there wasn't any body armor. The guy stumbled but kept coming. Swearing, Sean stood up and quickly moved his now empty pistol to his left hand and punched the guy in the face. The guy stopped and looked at Sean, and then slowly grinned.
Not bad, but now it's my turn.
And hauling off, he hit Sean in the head as well, causing Sean to curse in pain as he hit the damaged spot on the side of his face.
Give it up, boy. You can't win against me, the man growled.
Sean kicked him hard in the balls and then headbutted him as the man howled in pain.
The hard way, then,
the man growled, and as Sean watched, he shifted, and suddenly, Sean was facing a 7-foot-tall werewolf. Dropping his pistol, Sean shifted as well, roaring in pain from the wound on his face and anger that some dog would even think it could stand up to him. Lunging at the now shorter wolf, they both started to hit and tear at each other. But the look of both shock and surprise on the werewolf's face as he suddenly found himself facing down a much bigger and stronger were-lion was clear.
It can't be, the werewolf growled. You can't be one of us.
Sean hit him hard in the chest, pushing him back, and in the space of that moment, he cast another fireball back at the men who had started to shoot at them again, just as the werewolf in front of him screamed in agony and grabbed at his side as a bullet passed through his body and just barely missed Sean.
Nice people you work for there, Sean growled and grabbed him. I have no choice, the werewolf snarled, and tried to fight Sean off as Sean grabbed him by the throat and the belt around his waist. Yeah, I've been hearing that a lot lately, Sean said, and picking up the werewolf, he threw him back at the others, who were still sorting themselves out from the fireball. Scooping up his pistol, he ran off towards Roxy, who was now calling his name, changing magazines on his pistol for another full one as he did. Passing over the railroad tracks, he saw Roxy was waving to him by an old muscle car with what looked like racing slicks, which she dove into as soon as he turned towards her. Vaulting over the hood of the car, Sean shifted and jumped into the passenger seat. Sitting in the driver's seat was Dalen, who floored the car, driving Sean back into his seat as the door slammed closed, and with a loud roar, the car took off.
What the hell is this thing?
Sean gasped.
1970 Hemi Cuda, last with the big muscle cars,
Dalen laughed.
Like it? We're already doing 150. There ain't nothing that can catch this car.
Sean looked up and out the window of the old car as Dalen slid them around a slight curve with a downshift, and then, slamming on the brakes, cut them into a parking lot where she punched it again, as they screamed by a lamppost with inches to spare, and then out onto the main road, where if he thought they were going fast before, the dotted lines now looked like a solid bar.
Are you trying to get the police on our tail?
Sean yelled, his fingers sinking into the dashboard as he held on for dear life.
Car's enchanted,
Dalen laughed.
They can hear it, but they can't see it, and best of all,
Dalen turned and smiled at him.
No radar.
Swearing, Sean looked at the girls in the back seat. Jolene had her eyes closed tight and appeared to be praying. Roxy had her eyes wide open and was laughing and bouncing up and down in the seat.
Better put your seatbelt on, Dalen told him. The corners are a bit rough at 160.
Sean put on the lap belt and then tried to figure out the archaic shoulder belt.
Just where the hell are we going?
He asked.
My uncle's, remember?
What about the guys back there?
Oh, me and Max took care of them. I don't think they're gonna be in any kind of shape to remember me none.
Dalen laughed.
I think I'm in love,
Sean's lion suddenly piped up.
She's an insane maniac, Sean pointed out.
And Roxy isn't?
Sighing, Sean sank back in the seat, and had to admit, once the fear had worn off, that Dalen sure as hell could drive.
Are all dwarves as crazy as you?
Sean asked as they whipped around a pair of cars by using the shoulder. He was amazed at how Dalen kept the car from even slowing down as they hit the gravel.
Nah, the men are far worse.
They turned a hard right then and went barreling down another road.
Just how far is his place?
Sean asked, holding on as Dalen suddenly dropped two gears and navigated a series of intersections and S-turns, then turned onto a road skirting a hill.
Right about?
She locked up the car and did a four-wheel drift around a corner, and they ended up facing a garage door that was already opening.
Here.
Wow, that was fun. Can we do that again?
Roxy laughed from the back.
Next time I'm sitting up front.
Dalen looked at Sean.
She's a cheetah, isn't she?
Sean nodded.
How'd you know?
They're all speed freaks.
Hey, it's not often I get to ride in something faster than me.
Roxy laughed from the back.
She's got a point there,
Sean said with a heavy sigh.
You still with us, Joe?
We've stopped, right?
Yes, and the engine is even off,
Dalen said, and shut the car off as they rolled into the garage and stopped.
Then yes. I am still with you. I think, however, that my stomach is still a few miles behind us.
It'll catch up. Come on.
Dalen opened her door and got out.
Time to meet the family.
Sean got out of the car and helped Roxy, then quickly went around and offered his support to Jolene, who obviously was not all that enamored with going fast, or Dalen's driving.
I didn't see a house,
Sean said, thinking back to the view around the garage as they'd slid to a stop. There was what looked like a large metal shed, and not much else.
Course not. We live in a mountain. We're dwarves. Why would we live in houses?
Sean shrugged.
Up until an hour ago, dwarves were just something from fantasy for me, so I didn't want to presume.
Dalen stopped and turned and looked at him.
You mean to tell me that you, a werelion, have never heard of dwarves before?
You have to forgive him,
Roxy snickered.
Up until a couple of weeks ago, he
He hadn't even heard of werelions. How did that happen?
Dalen looked at Sean curiously.
I got bit, Sean said, and then shrugged. It's a long story. How about we go meet your uncle first?
Sure, come on,
Dalen said, and led them into a back room, and closing the door, she did something, and suddenly the floor started to descend.
Elevator?
Jolene said, looking around.
Yeah, easier to hide than a staircase.
After 100 feet or so, it slowed and then stopped. There was a door in one of the walls now, and pushing it open, Dalen led the way.
Hey, Day!
A short but very strong-looking young man said, jogging up to them.
You can't just bring people down here!
Dalen made a rude noise at him.
Two Lycans and a magic user, Jocko. They're here to see Samus. Like I'd bring a regular human down here?
Oh, I thought maybe you had a hot date or something.
Jocko laughed. Sean noticed Dalen winced at that. So, stepping forward, he grabbed Jocko by the neck and picked him up off the floor.
That was rather rude of you,
Sean growled, as Jocko grabbed at his wrist with both hands and tried to free himself.
Oh, yeah,
Dalen chuckled.
My friend here is a lion and a magic user with a bit of an attitude problem. Plus, I think he kinda likes me. Put him down, Sean.
Do I have to?
Sean grumbled.
He's my cousin, so yeah, you kinda have to.
Sean sighed and opened his hand, dropping Jocko, who landed on his feet and glared angrily at Sean a moment, and then stomped off.
Come on, let's go see my uncle,
Dalen said, shaking her head, and led them off down the same corridor Jocko had just gone down. Sean took a moment to look around as they went. The walls of the elevator shaft had looked like concrete, same for the walls of the room they'd stepped out into, which had several exits from it. But the hallway they were in now was much of a more homey feeling. The walls were smooth and painted, and there were occasional pictures or designs along it. The lighting was indirect. Sean wasn't quite sure what type of lighting it was. At the end of the hallway, they came to another hallway that went off to either side and which had doors spaced randomly along it. Dalen turned left down that hallway, and after about 10 doors, she stopped and knocked on it.
Come on in, Dalen,
a man's voice called.
I guess Jocko got here first,
Dalen sighed. Opening the door and leading them in, Sean took in the rather large room with the surprisingly high ceiling. The room was obviously some sort of family room or den. He could see what looked like a kitchen off to one side, and two hallways led away from the back wall. There were several men and women in it as well. The men were all well under 6 foot. Two of them were barely 5 foot tall. But they were all strongly built, and with the exception of Jocko and one other, they all had beards, though they were kept short and rather neat. The women in the room were all, simply put, gorgeous. They all had their hair worn long, as Dalen did, and while some of them were a bit heavier built than Dalen, it didn't subtract from their beauty one bit. Sean also noticed that none of them were as tall as Dalen was. They weren't even close.
So, what's this I hear about you strangling my son? The man standing next to Jocko said.
Sean stopped, and leaning forward a little, he stared at the man. His hair was a little shorter now, and Sean could definitely see a lot more gray at the temples, and even a few strands of it in his beard.
Samus?
Sean said.
Yeah, that's me. Now just what were you doing to my boy here?
Wow, Sean said. You still look the same. I can't believe it. I had no idea you were a dwarf. Dad never told me.
Samus rolled his eyes.
Do I know you, boy?
Sean Valens. My father, back before he was murdered, used to bring me down to see your shop and the trains.
Sean smiled and stuck out his hand.
You're Ben's kid?
Samus said, and squinted at him a moment.
Damn, son! When did you get to be so big?
Stepping up, he took Sean's hand and shook it.
Sorry about what happened to your father. He was a good man. Not all stuck up and stuff like most of the casters and enchanters these days.
Dad!
Jocko said. Samus rolled his eyes.
Oh yeah, my son. What did he do this time?
He insulted Dalen, Sean grumbled. I mean, cousin or no, you don't go insulting people in front of guests, especially not me.
Sean blushed a little as he said that.
Samson bit him,
Roxy piped up.
Who's Samson?
Dalen said.
Why'd he do a thing like that? Samus asked.
It's a long story, Sean gave a little sigh. But I'd be more than happy to tell it to you.
Dad!
Jocko grumbled. Samus turned to his son.
Jocko, I've warned you before to mind your tongue in front of strangers. Lions, especially young ones, can be a bit touchy if you go insulting the women they're with. Now go bring up a keg for our guests, and make sure you grab the good stuff.
Samus turned back to Sean then.
He's still learning. Now, would you mind introducing me to your friends?
Sean introduced Roxy and Jolene, and Samus then introduced his wife, Sarah, his other son, his three daughters, the husbands of two of them, and the fiancé of the third, and his two friends, Robert and Wilhelm. They were then shown to some rather nice seats as Jocko carried a good-sized metal keg into the kitchen, and Sarah and her three daughters went into the kitchen as well, and returned a minute later with filled mugs and started serving everyone.
Well, now that we have something to drink, why don't you tell me your story, Sean?
Sean nodded. How much do you know about my father's murder, if you don't mind my asking?
I knew his death was suspicious, but beyond that, very little. Your father had made some very powerful enemies, and I don't think he even realized it until it was too late.
Sean took a drink of his beer, eyebrows rising at the taste. It was better than anything he'd ever had before.
Well, I guess I'll start at the beginning and tell you everything I know.
And starting back from the attempted kidnapping on Friday, 2 weeks ago, Sean told him the story of what he'd been through. An hour later, when Sean had finally finished, he looked up at Samus, who was sitting there with his head propped up by his left hand, his left elbow resting on his left knee, obviously deep in thought. After a minute, he nodded slowly.
A lot's been going on, but it's late. Very late. I got a guest room in the back you can all sleep in. In the morning, we can talk about this some more. Until then, feel free to enjoy my hospitality.
Samus turned to Dalen, who was looking rather tired. Jolene had already fallen asleep. Even Roxy looked tired.
Day, show them the guest room and help them get settled in.
Standing up and stretching, Day nodded.
Yes, Uncle.
And for the love of stone and earth, put on some nice clothes when you come back in the morning. Understand me?
Dalen blushed and nodded.
Yes, Uncle.
Yawning, Sean stood up and stretched.
Thank you, Samus, very much. I'm in your debt.
Think nothing of it, Sean. Your father was one of the few humans and the only caster I ever called friend.
Sean nodded, and, bending over, he picked up Jolene and, carrying her still sleeping form, he followed Roxy and Dalen down one of the halls to a rather nice room with a very large bed and its own bathroom and shower. Setting Jolene down on the bed, Sean went over, and bending slightly, he pulled a rather surprised Dalen into a hug.
What's that for?
She protested, squirming and pushing back at him.
For saving our lives, Sean smiled. And I wanted to get an idea of just what you're hiding under those coveralls.
Dalen blushed rather heavily, and turning, left the room after Sean let go of her, closing the door behind her.
Already lining up another one?
Roxy snickered. Sean felt his face flush in embarrassment.
I can't help it. My lion's already in love with her.
Uh-huh,
Roxy teased, and started to strip her clothes off.
And you're not?
I don't know, Sean said, a little exasperated. Yeah, she's hot, and tough, and as crazy as the rest of us. But a third wife?
Sean threw his hands up in the air.
2 weeks ago I was a virgin. Now I have two incredibly wonderful and beautiful mates, and yet I'm looking at lining up a third? How does this even happen?
Roxy came over to him and started helping him undress.
It's a lion thing.
She giggled and kissed him on the mouth, and then slowly started to work her way down his neck and then his chest as she undid his belt.
And you're okay with it?
Sean asked, watching as she pulled his pants down and started to rub her face against his already stiff tulle.
I knew what I was getting into when I brought you back to my room, hon,
Roxy said, and then ran her tongue up his length, making his whole body shiver.
And now that you're in it,
Sean gasped,
and reaching down, he put his hands on her head, steadying him.
I love you, Sean. I'm not human. Neither are you anymore. Accept it. It's just the way lions are, and everyone knows it.
Everyone? Sean blinked.
Including Daylan and her uncle.
Roxy laughed softly and took him into her mouth, and Sean decided that any further conversation could wait until morning.
A moment, Day, Samus said, following his niece out into the hallway.
What?
Daylan said, stopping and looking up at him.
I want you to dress up tomorrow. Put on your finest dress. Unbraid your hair. I want you to be beautiful, to show off the looks that you inherited from your mother, my sister.
Daylan scowled at her uncle.
And why would I do that?
You'll do it because I asked you to, that's why,
Samus said, looking down at her, and then sighed.
Day, have I not been like a father to you since your parents died? Have I not looked out for you at every moment? Have I not been there for you when you needed it, given you help, advice, and guidance, as if you were my very own child?
Daylan sighed.
Yes, Uncle Samus. I'm sorry. I'll dress up for him tomorrow.
Don't just do it for him, Day. Do it for you. Do it for yourself. He's interested in you. Can't you see that?
But he's not a dwarf, Daylan protested.
So? Do you really think that you're going to find a husband still? You're almost 22, and not a single man has paid court to you, ever. It has hurt me greatly to see you so ignored, especially when you're so bright and talented and easily as beautiful as my sister was.
Daylan felt her eyes start to water. It hurt to hear her uncle say it. Those things that had been whispered behind her back for so many years now. Turning away from him, she hid her face. Samus grabbed his niece and turned her back to face him.
He comes from a family that has been friends with ours for generations. He has the power of magic, and it is strong inside him. And he is a lion. He has already taken two mates of great power, and now his eye has fallen on you. Don't spurn him, Daylan. Don't turn him down out of hand. Lions are picky when it comes to those that they court. Trust me that his attentions to you will not go unnoticed. Others will start to wonder what they have missed.
So you're saying I should just lead him on so that others will change their minds about me?
No. I'm saying that you should give him a chance to be your man. No one will look down on you if you join his pride and become his woman. Lions are respected, you know that.
And he'll beat up anyone who disrespects me,
Daylan said with a sniffle.
What man won't for the woman he loves? Samus agreed. But the point I'm trying to make is don't turn him down because he's not a dwarf. Don't be afraid that letting him court you will make your life worse. And most importantly, don't be afraid to say yes if this is the male that will make you happy. Besides, Samus grinned, he needs you. Really. I'd have thought that'd be obvious even to you.
Daylan laughed and wiped her eyes.
Yeah, you're right about that. He's still so clueless on so many things. I can see that Roxy and Joe are trying, but they definitely need help.
She hugged her uncle then.
Thank you, Uncle Samus. You're right as always.
Samus smiled and hugged his niece back, and then watched as she headed back to her home. She'd inherited her family's abode when her parents had died in an unfortunate accident so many years ago. Her only brother had found a wife and a job in another community, so she lived alone now. While her skill with machines, as well as that hammer of hers, were quite admired by all, her height still kept the suitors at bay. Daylan thought about what her uncle had said. When Sean had put Jocko in his place for insulting her, a nice warm feeling had gone through her. No man had ever done that for her before. And then that hug. That boy had some serious muscle on him. And honestly, the idea of a man who was way bigger than her, stronger than her? Oh yeah, she liked that idea all right. Because until tonight, she'd never met the man who was.
Happy birthday.
Two things quickly registered on Sean's mind when he finally stumbled out of the room in the morning, still somewhat tired. After Roxy had finished with him last night, Jolene had woken up and started in. The first was that they were having a birthday party for him. The second was that with her hair undone and wearing a nice dress, Daylan had a body that any man would kill for. He just stood there, staring at her. There was definitely something to be said about short girls. Daylan blushed after a moment, and then scowled at him.
Don't go getting any ideas, Buster.
Sean smiled and shook his head slowly. Too late for that. He motioned towards the tables that were being set up in the living room. Is that what I think it is? Daylan suddenly smiled, which made her look even more radiant, and nodded. Sean got the feeling she could make his lion sit up and beg.
21 is when you come of age in dwarven society, and my uncle said it wouldn't be fair to let it go uncelebrated, especially after all you've lost.
Sean blinked.
Really? Your father was a really good friend of my uncle's.
Daylan sighed and shook her head. Sean frowned.
And that makes you sad? Why?
Daylan held out the sack with the gold coins Sean had given her.
It means I can't take this.
And she handed it back to him.
Are you sure?
Sean said and looked into the small sack. The 6 unmagicked coins, as well as the 4 now enchanted ones, were still there.
You can't pay friends for helping you, Daylan told him. It's one of our older customs. You help friends and family for free, because you can't set a price on their bonds and loyalty.
Sean nodded slowly and took one of the enchanted coins out of the sack, which he then held it out to her as he slipped the rest into his pocket.
I'd like you to take this as a gift.
Daylan rolled her eyes.
I just told you I can't.
Sean smiled. This isn't one of the gold pieces I offered to pay you. This is an enchanted gold medallion, and I'd like you to wear it. I think it would look good on you.
Sean was rewarded with Daylan blushing all the way down into her cleavage, which was easily as big as Jolene's, which made it rather impressive as Daylan was half a foot shorter.
You want me to wear it?
Sean nodded and smiled as she took it, suddenly looking rather shy.
What does it do?
Daylan asked, turning it over and looking at it.
It protects you from scrying and mind-based spells, like sleep or paralyze.
Oh.
Daylan paused a moment.
Do Roxy and Jolene have them?
Roxy does, but Jolene's a magic user, so I just taught her this spell.
Thank you,
Daylan said softly, and blushed again.
I think I'll go find a nice chain to wear it on. Excuse me for a few minutes.
Of course,
Sean said, and then opened his eyes wide as Daylan stepped forward and gave him a rather warm hug, then quickly left the room. Looking up, Sean saw Samus and his wife Sarah smiling.
I didn't do anything wrong, did I?
Sean asked.
No, son. Nothing wrong at all,
Samus said with a chuckle.
Come, Sarah said, and beckoned him to the kitchen. Let's get some food into you before the party starts. Samus, why don't you go knock on the door and see if the others are awake yet?
Sean followed Sarah into the kitchen and was rather amazed at the amount of food she set in front of him. Not that he complained. He started in on it with a will, as he was starving.
I always love a man with a good appetite,
Sarah laughed.
Thanks,
Sean said between bites. After a few minutes, he paused.
May I ask something about Daylan?
Sarah nodded.
Of course, Sean. What would you like to know? I'm kinda getting the impression that she's not all that popular with the guys, and considering her looks, which, please, don't take this the wrong way, are a lot better than any of the girls I've met down here, and, well, why? I'd expect there to be a long line of men after her.
Sarah sighed.
It's her height. Daylan's a good 6 inches taller than most girls. Why, she's as tall as or taller than many men.
So?
Dwarven men don't like tall women much, Sean.
Sean blinked.
That has to be the stupidest thing that I've ever heard.
Knowing her as well as I do, I'd be inclined to agree with you on that, Sean.
Sarah nodded, and then added with a wink,
But their loss is your gain, right?
Sean felt his lion actually sit up and pay attention. Sarah was smiling at him very warmly.
I'm not a dwarf, Sean replied slowly, as his mind happily considered that thought.
Of course, his lion was now pushing the idea, and honestly, Sean had no intentions of resisting.
Ah, but your family is good friends with a number of dwarves. It wasn't just your father, but his father, and his father, too. Plus, you're not human. You're a lion.
Why does everyone keep telling me that being a lion makes things different?
Because they're one of the few lycans that take non-lycans as wives. In every race, there is the one group that is the exception to the usual rules, and for lycans, that's the lions.
So, it wouldn't reflect badly on Daylin if I were to pursue her?
Sean said with a smile as Roxy and Jolene, fresh out of the shower, entered the kitchen, yawning.
Oh, no. In fact, it would be quite welcomed.
Sarah turned to the girls as they entered and pointed them at seats, then started to heap a large amount of food on a plate which she gave to Roxy, who started in on it with a single-minded intensity. Jolene's plate was somewhat less filled, but she started in on hers almost as quickly.
So, they trying to set you up with Daylin yet?
Roxy whispered to him.
I think we're past the word try, Sean admitted quietly. How'd you know?
She's too tall. Male dwarves are really touchy about height. If you're a really tall one, you look for the shortest woman who'll have you.
Why's that?
Tunnels. Notice how the hallways we walked down were only a few inches above your head?
Yeah, but the rooms here are huge.
That's a sign of wealth,
Roxy told him between bites.
To have space you don't need and can't use. But for the hallways and everything else, most are lower than the ones we came here through. That's probably because they get more human visitors here and don't want them to feel claustrophobic.
Sean laughed.
I actually kind of like the feeling of being underground.
That's your lycan side. We cats like dens, and dwarven communities are just like one big one to us.
What about you? Sean asked, nudging Jolene.
For a tantric magic user, being underground is to be surrounded by the life of the earth.
Jolene smiled at him.
So yeah, I kind of like it too.
First time, Joe?
Roxy asked. Jolene nodded.
Obviously not for you, though, right?
Jolene asked Roxy, smiling.
Nope. There are several large communities around Vegas. It's also where all the tin knockers come from.
Tin knockers?
Sean asked, as Jolene looked on curious.
They're the guys who do all the HVAC work in the high-rises,
Roxy told them.
You have to be small enough to fit into a lot of tight spaces, but strong enough to do some pretty heavy work. Dwarves are naturals at it, especially with their love of working metal.
Huh. Learn something new every day,
Sean said, and added a thank you to Sarah as she dumped another pile of bacon, eggs, biscuits, and gravy onto his plate. Daylin almost ran back to her room. She had a chain that would do Sean's gift justice, and she couldn't wait to put it on and see how it looked. He'd given her a gift. She laughed and wondered if he knew the significance. The way he smiled, she had a sneaking suspicion that he knew exactly what he was up to. It was one thing to give a woman you were interested in a gift of jewelry, but to give her a magically enchanted one, especially with such a powerful spell? Oh, but there were going to be a lot of jealous women in the tunnels tonight. Daylin couldn't help but laugh at that thought. Her uncle had been right, though. The way Sean's eyes locked on her, Daylin smiled and sighed happily as she stepped into her home. No dwarven man had ever looked at her like that. Going to her room, she found the necklace she'd been thinking of. It was a 1-inch band of delustered gold alloy that would lay flat around the base of her neck and dip down slightly over her chest, so the coin, once attached, would hang right above her bosom, clearly visible with the dress she was wearing. Finding the proper attachment ring, it took her only a moment to wed the two pieces together, and then she quickly put it on and looked at it in the mirror. The chain looked wonderful. The workmanship put into it was obvious, but the lack of shine on it drew one's eyes to the gold pendant attached there, the lion's head prominent. Smiling, she turned back to the door and then stopped for a moment. Going over to her closet, she kicked off her low-heeled shoes and got out the pair of spike heels that she'd bought on a lark. Most dwarven women wore heels because they were so short.
but Daylin always avoided them, because it made it clear to everyone else just how tall she was. She'd bought this set when she'd decided to go out to one of the casino bars and see what it was like, not being looked down on for her size. She still used them on occasion, but only when pressed into tour guide duty at the museum, something they often asked her to do because of her height, she was sure. Heading back to her uncle's, for the first time in her life, Daylin strutted down the hall. Sure, in heels she was almost 5'1", but for the first time in her life, that was going to be an advantage. When Daylin came back to the room, Sean sat up and once again stared. "Whoa, she's hot," Jolene said next to him.
"I'll say,"
Roxy agreed, and then nudged Sean and smiled, teasing him.
"Go get her, hon. Time to let the lion out."
"Oh, hell no. He can wait. I saw her first," Sean growled softly, and getting up he walked over towards Daylin and noticed she was now a bit taller than before.
Letting his eyes look down those shapely legs, he saw the rather sexy 3-inch spike heels she was wearing, and looking back up at her, he smiled as she turned to look at him. The very fact that she'd put on something to accent her height, the one thing others held against her, made it clear to him that she had put them on just for him.